I sighted the microphone for the green lights of the speed trap. Ray Carino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Carino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
My gal is red hot, your gal ain't doodly squat, yeah! My gal is red hot, your gal ain't doodly squat. Well, she ain't got money, but man, she's really got a lot.
All right, she may not have money or have a lot, but we do.
Oh, well, we do?
Here on Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, dealing with the community and the topics at large and all the cool stuff that goes on in the world of cars, motorcycles,
world-shattering
trucks.
Topics of the day.
Right, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, wingman, and XO with the
and
con.
And other guy.
Joe D. And in the studio today, we have two fantastic guests.
Yeah, who are these guys?
We got Al and Dave, or Dave and Al, however you want to put it.
Well, alphabetically, it would be Al and Dave.
It would be Al and Dave, yes.
This is true.
But I'd be remiss if I didn't tell people that they can follow us and check out what we do, like Al does. We follow him, too.
Yes.
MotorMouthRadio.com.
Isn't that kind of like stalking, but okay?
It is. In this society, it is. Twitter, of course, is MotorMouth Radio. And Joe's favorite Instagram, which is...
Real_MotorMouthRadio.
And you can give us a call for a little while at 516-572-7440.
Why is it only for a little while, right?
Because we are scheduled to have a guest today. Another guest. We have two live ones. And,
yes.
Well, he'll be live, too.
We got a live one here.
Right. Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars is scheduled to give us a call today and talk all about season 10 of his fantastic show.
Yeah.
And that's what brought our other fine guests in, because he said, hey, I want to be part of this, too.
So, yeah, let's get all more part up there, you know?
So, Al and Dave, tell us. I mean, Al, anybody who follows... You knows your life, you know. I know more about you without having met you than probably some of your friends do.
Yeah, this is true. Probably even more than my wife does, probably.
Yeah, right. That's how
she
works.
Doesn't pay
attention. Like that.
She doesn't pay attention to any of my posts because I embarrass them.
Smart
that's,
woman.
That's why I had to change my name on Facebook, yeah.
Right. And that's why I'm in the garage.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, nobody else will listen to him.
Now, you're not on Instagram now.
No.
You should be.
I guess I should be.
Because that's the place for the photos and all the stuff. And whenever I go to tag people on Instagram, I always look for... Oh, yeah, right. Al isn't on Instagram. Shoot, damn it. I can't believe I... Yeah, I always make that mistake. But you'd like it.
Yeah, I must...
You transition well.
Yeah. It's just so much stuff to look at.
Up and coming.
Oh, yeah, there is. You know what? Like, with any of the platforms, there's so much, even on Facebook. And we are on Facebook, Motor Mouth Radio.
Yep.
Again, on the website, you find all sorts of cool stuff. Our blogs, our articles. There's a new video went up to commemorate Mark Warman's 10th season that you got to check out.
Cool.
I know you saw it.
Yep.
That's up there on Facebook, too. Faccia Bruta, as we call it, because we kind of, you know, we inflect our own little...
A vernacular to
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you say it, you know.
Yeah. And it's just a great way. It is a good way to get the information out. We're newcomers to it. You know, Joe was involved a little longer than I was, especially with Facebook. But I see, yeah, you can really get some stuff out. I was at a house party in Jersey last night, and I just happened
and everybody
to...
Everybody knows it.
I went to show one of the guys a picture on Instagram, something that I posted, and I saw... our good friend, Matt Coleman. Hey, Matt Coleman, Brian
from
Maryland. Mm-hmm. He threw up a picture at his barbecue.
Yeah, right?
And I was like, whoa! So, of course, I said, hey, wait a minute. I got to go over to the table, take a picture of the food. And then went to take a picture of Maker's Mark. Said, hey, here's what I'm doing. And now in real time, you're sharing, you know, what's happening. So,
what's going on?
But with cars, too. With cars, Christian does that from Long Island Racing.
Yep.
Yeah, we get a lot of a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, a lot of pictures from the man cave, stuff like that.
Yeah. And you have the the Franken Dakota outside, I call it, because you've been rebuilding that truck piece by piece and modifying it. You're treating that car like it's a 69 Charger.
He's got modifications of modifications.
I believe that.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a work in progress. That's how it works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, especially when you're broke.
Well,
you got to drive it while you modify it.
Right.
That's the right way to do it, because if it always sits there, I've seen people over the years in my time in the car, in the dealer parts department and in the speed shop, that guys would have this hanger queen, and they come in and they buy parts for it all, and then finally one day it just gets sold.
You
know what I mean? But if you drive it every day, it's much better that way. Because you also get to sort it out rather than having that one big danger drive with the punch list about 3 miles long.
Right. Yeah, that's what happened to my 57 International. I had an International pickup truck that I was hot rodding. That sat for 10 years as I played with the Jeeps. I finally sold it. I needed room in the garage.
Yeah. Well, that happens. Listen, guys move stuff around all the time. Where Joe hangs at the UD, as we affectionately call it, the CF, or the, there's another couple names.
Monastery.
The Monastery. things are moving around all the time.
Yes, there's always something going on over there. Yesterday it was like, there was cars lined up from one wall to the other. Just people visiting and hanging out and stuff. And I was like, I gotta go do my thermostat, get out of my way.
Right.
But that's okay.
It must be a thing, because at the shop where I do some work, kind of the same thing happens. It's like musical cars. Like, okay, that's out. Now this is in. Now that's out. Now bring this in. Now this.
Yeah.
Like, where'd that come from? Don't worry. Just we got to fix this. Okay.
Yeah.
Without
a doubt. And you got to catch them at the right time because, I got brakes or, hey, the Jeep's falling apart here, and take them out to breakfast. It gets me right in and say, hey, listen, why don't we just step
in the queue?
Nice. No snapshot. No waiting. Yeah.
God, love that.
Then the problem is, like I was talking to Joe earlier, you have to remember now, I have sometimes two or three cars back that haven't been finished. They got left in suspended animation because they weren't important. They didn't have to be used right now.
The proverbial back burner.
But you still have to go back to them, and then you got to reset the clock and say, where did I leave off? So you got, you take notes, and you got to make files, and it's...
That's what happens, too, because sometimes what happens, you're working on your project, and then the next thing you know, something on your everyday car breaks.
Right.
And that gets priority, and luckily, hopefully, that gets out quickly.
They say multitasking like this helps stave off Alzheimer's. So I'm trying to multitask as much as I can.
Yeah,
throwing a wife or a girlfriend once in a while too. Oh, I got this, I got that.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yep. This thing means, it doesn't mean that we're having heart attacks. It doesn't mean that we're going to be freaked out. It means there's a phone call. So we'll go back. We'll go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, what's happening, Bob?
So who's playing with Jeeps in there?
Here he is, Mr. Yeah. Jeep and Al.
Yep.
Jeep and Al's with you guys?
Yes, sir, and Dave.
Oh, man. Okay, so 86 CJ, last model.
Right.
Laredo package.
Cool.
Who wants to restore it?
Now, this was Al. When you sent me info about a week ago to get to Bob, I didn't have your email address, so I couldn't send you this info that Al...
Yeah.
So... Do it, Al.
Yeah,
tell
him. It was a guy, a very, very good guy up in Orange County, New York. He moved down to Tennessee, but he's willing to do it. He's a former Jeep or a Dodge mechanic that went out on his own. He restores Jeeps like crazy.
Really? So he's in the South now?
Yeah, but he's willing to do your Jeep. In fact, he was going to come up here, and he's got a huge trailer. He was going to come up here and collect the Jeep from up in the New York area and bring it down and start working on it. So if you could get a hold of him, he may be still available to pick your Jeep up. At least give you an idea what the price would be.
Now, you had sent me, I guess, his information?
Yes,
All right, Bob, again, what you got to do is send me an email to Motormouth Radio or mmr@ncc.edu. It's nine letters, and a dot. That's all there is to it. And I'll forward you the information from Al that he sent me.
Yeah, because
you guys are the best.
Yeah, I gave him a couple of shops, one out in Pennsylvania,
right,
and then Mike's shop, and then there's one right in Jersey. I don't know if they would do a restoration, though. They like working on them, but I don't know if they do that.
I can't thank you enough, guys. Have a great week.
No problem. Good luck with
it. All right, Bob.
I'll send that email off. Thanks.
Bob. Okay.
So long.
Yeah, it's good old Bob from Rockville Center, a good friend of the show. And, Jeeps are everywhere, Al, like you know. I mean, you're knee-deep in them,
Been since, I started in 82, I guess, with a 76 Wagoneer.
Wow.
Full-size Jeep.
Yeah, yeah.
83 mm-hmm. for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, it was one of the things that tied us together was love of Jeeps. Besides him being my boss, that was...
Yeah. Well, yeah. That'll help, yeah.
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 Well, yeah, when I was mayor, he was my chief of police.
Right, right. That's, yeah, so you guys have another bond that transcends...
Yeah.
Talk about watching each other's back.
Seriously.
Yeah, just a little bit,
yes,
yeah,
right. Yes.
Yeah, you know, that's great.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Now, how many years ago was that?
2005.
Five, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, I could see you as a mayor, you know, definitely. I could see that. Yeah. I would live you're in good. A town where Al was mayor and you were police
without
chief.
A doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it was interesting times.
Yes, it was.
What were those city council meetings like? How was that?
Oh, yeah.
Getting
yeah.
bond referendums passed. And
I gave him one of my vests because he needed, you know. Wow. That was from the good guys.
Right, right.
This time of year, I get a call from the secretary in town, and she goes, we got a bit of a problem at the ball field. I said, okay, the ball field now is on a major highway that goes through town. I said, what's wrong? She says, well, the high school students last night made a 20-foot snowman. Oh, well, okay, that's no problem.
Nice.
No, no, Mr. May, you don't understand. He's atomically correct.
Ah,
why did I know you were going to say
let's
that?
See. Let's see, 20 feet tall oh, yeah, would make, right. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Right, yeah.
Gotcha.
So I had to send...
Woofa.
Yeah, right, the public works guys out there to castrate the snowman.
A shovel, yeah.
I was going to say, well, at least you knew it wasn't a snow woman.
Right.
Exactly, true. Yeah.
That's very true.
And I got to play with snowballs, so
yeah, right, exactly, it was good. Yeah.
I think that's about as far as we can go with that. On a
I hear the helicopters now, Ray. Yeah. Watch yeah,
yeah,
it, okay?
FCC on the side of them.
That's
yeah,
about as far
yeah.
as we can go with that. So, yeah, but that's good. I think people get the.
They're dropping the rappelling ropes.
Yeah. Like the Blues Brothers. And that was a great post you put out this morning with the Blues Brothers by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, Joe, on Twitter. Al had a, you know, Jake and Elwood in the, you know, in the Bluesmobile.
Yes, yes.
And they were.
We're on a mission
from God.
Right.
Yes, I love that.
Excellent. Excellent.
Love the Chicago. I have a friend of mine that calls me from Chicago. You know, we banter back and forth with car problems and stuff. And that accent, I just can't keep a straight face. Yeah. I just can't. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I like stopped FaceTiming the guy.
Right.
It was just like, hey, can't
well,
do it.
It's like when my wife listens, she goes, "Wow, they're really from Long Island." Aren't they? I said, "Oh yeah, they
Long Island."
Yeah, Long Island.
Long Island.
Yeah. You know, I was watching an episode of Car Fix last week. I don't get to catch it regularly because I work on Saturdays, and Lou Santiago from Car Fix was working on a '66 GTO or a Le Mans GTO, whatever.
Right.
And he had a problem with the rear end. So what he did is they zoomed in on the casting number. And he says, "Yeah." He goes, "What I did is I had to put up a."
He called Tony, didn't he?
Well, no, he said Tony, he goes, "I had to put a lifeline to a friend up in Long Island."
Long Island,
it was probably
yeah.
Tori, right?
Yeah, right.
I said, "Yes,
yeah,
get
yeah.
this on TV." So let's go back to the phones here, fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, Motor Mouths. This is Glenn Danielli. I have a 1998 Toyota Camry LE. California edition.
Okay, so the surf—it's not a surfboard problem, is it?
Which is bad.
The what's bad?
The neutral safety switch is bad.
Okay.
I cannot find anybody that would sell me the neutral safety switch.
Really?
They all want to sell me the tranny.
Is it in the transmission?
No. What
well, that's what you're just saying. They want to sell them a transmission.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Wait a minute. 98 four cylinder.
Is it a four-cylinder, Glenn?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That doesn't smell right, because a lot of them are on the front of the tranny, right by the... it's this big, ugly thing. It should be right on the front of the tranny, off the top of my head. I'm gonna look it up here
who
real
did
quick.
You, who did you try... Where did you try finding that part, Glenn? What kind of places did you go to?
Junkyard, AutoZone.
Oh, AutoZone. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you try something like Rock Auto? Because they really have a pretty good handle on things.
That
what's
would
the
be
name of it?
Rock Auto.
Rock yeah. Auto. RockAuto.com. I mean, we're not... I mean, I guess we are endorsing them by saying it, but you know, we do use them. We buy our stuff there
on
occasion.
If you got a little time to wait. I mean, it's not quite like when... you know, the Coyote used to order stuff, and we'd be there, like, real quick.
Then again,
they're fast,
the last Rock
fast.
Auto I put in, I got the next day.
Really?
Really?
So that was, yeah, I was amazed. Then, and it wasn't an overnight order. I just took five-day shipping. But it depends where it's coming from. You got to do the drill-down menu. You got to go through the, you know, make, model, year, the whole thing. But you'll get specifically to your part.
It's usually held sold on, I mean, like, I have a 92, and I mean, I've worked on plenty of cameras. I mean, God knows there's a million of them out there, but
right.
Yeah, it's neutral safety switch specifications.
Joe is looking it up right now, by the way, but
yeah,
thank you, Joe.
It usually hangs right, it's usually right by the end of the shifter cable.
Makes sense.
Well, this one is in front of the transmission.
Right. It's held on with two bolts. It's got a slotted. It's got two slotted ears on it, so you got to adjust it. All right?
Right,
and it's got that big funky double nut with like the screwdriver slot in the middle of it.
Right. I never saw it
before in my life. No.
I jumped it out, and it was only going. It was, no matter where you drive, it was only driving in reverse.
Really?
No matter what shift position you put it in, it only said reverse.
Okay. Wow. Oh, you mean the little lights between the two cages?
The little yellow light
there.
In
yeah.
between
uh-huh. Right, yeah, because that's the combination neutral safety switch, backup light switch. I think it also tells the ECM what gear you're in, because the computer wants to know that kind of stuff these days.
Right, right.
They're
right,
all
right.
A bunch of busybodies. But the car doesn't start?
No, run.
Okay, so why you want to change this again?
Just because, it keeps causing the check engine light to come on.
Oh, okay, here we go. Well, why did check engine light? That smells kind of fishy.
I tell you what, Glenn, let us do some research on this and get back to us.
Yeah,
because we got to take a break and then we have our guest call in. So I got to keep my schedule here.
But that sounds kind of fishy. Yeah, get back to us with the code because
get the code. Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll do some research on this end.
And stay tuned. I might just give you a shout out with the part number a little bit because like the internet down here is like a hamster powered. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
All right, Glenn. Talk to you soon. Thanks. All right, guys, we got to take a quick break, and then we'll be hopefully on with Mr. Mark Warman, and we'll take care of some business, and we will be back in a few on 90.3 WHPC.
I'm driving in my car, turn on the radio, I'm pulling you close. But you just say no. You say you don't like it, but girl, I know you're a liar. 'Cause when we kiss, fire.
This program is brought to you by NYCB Live, home of the NASA Veterans Memorial Coliseum, who presents the original Harlem Globetrotters on December 28th. More information can be found online at nycblive.com.
This program is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents Big Bad Voodoo Daddy on Wednesday, December 19th at 8 p.m., bringing their unique sound of jazz and swing to Long Island. The Paramount is located at 370 New York Avenue in Huntington. More information can be found by visiting ParamountNY.com.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're back. We're burning fire. We got wood smoking. We got coal going on the burners. We got you name it happening.
We got all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
I think I saw a grass fire over there somehow. But back on Motormouth Radio, Rig Warino, Joe D. We got Alan Dave in the studio with us, and hopefully we will have Mr. Mark Warman on the line.
Yeah, real quick, I found that neutral safety switch. It is on Rock Auto.
What do you got?
And thanks, Mr. Nobody out there. But the Wi-Fi caught up with us. It's from Standard Motor Products. You know, those guys.
Ah, them guys.
NS1. 42. It's
nice.
$150. $151.79. But
all right, let's go back to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
How you doing there?
Hey, Mr. Mark Warman.
Hey, Mark.
Because as you're walking in the door, you know what we got to do. We got it. We got to give you the big send up.
You guys are just walking in.
I hear it. Yeah. Yeah, well, Mark, when you appear, that song just plays. I don't know how it happens.
I love it. That's great. We actually, that guy gave us the rights to that song.
Oh.
You're kidding me, really?
So we're in Philly.
We can use it anytime we want. So that's, I think that's pretty cool.
And
very
that's,
cool.
Slant 6 is the name of the band that recorded that, which is so
oddly
cool.
Oddly enough.
Yeah. Excellent. So, Mark, we have so much to catch up on. It's been a while since we spoke with you, but now, of course, season 10 of Graveyard Cars is among us.
It is. And yeah, season 10. We're on our, we just aired our second episode of season 10 on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And from social media standpoint, you never really know, but from there, it looks like everybody enjoyed the show and are liking the fun format with the kind of 70s grindhouse look to it. So, yeah, so far so
cool.
Good, man. That's a good thing.
I have to say, when I saw the pre-release, the promo trailer you did, I said, oh my God, it's Quentin Tarantino. It's Death Proof. There it is.
Exactly right.
Look, Mark is Zobel. That was so cool, and I got to say, I am a big fan of the new graphics, the red and the orange and the yellow.
Catchy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And did you just as a point of reference, because we think about this stuff, what did you have to go through to be able to do that, to actually borrow that trail? Did you have to get the Quentin's blessing or what? How does that work?
Oh, no. It's just a style. It's a genre. So it's nobody can patent a genre. It's what we did was our director, Dale Watson, the guy I usually call Fatso behind the camera. He's a real talented guy. He did all those graphics himself. He created the models and built the whole thing and rendered it in 3D and put all the filters over the top of it. So that's all just... That's 100% us. It just has the same feel. Then we remixed some music, mixed our own music, really, for the sound for the trailer. And there you go. Voila.
You did an incredible job. Let me tell you something.
I have
pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I have to say, Mark, that anybody who's watched the show would agree, I think, as the seasons have progressed, your show has grown. It's changed. It's a work in progress. It's gotten better. And I use the word better. You got to understand where I come from, because it's always been a great show, technically, for the content. But now, I guess, like with the video production and all that, you
polished.
Kinda, polished, yeah.
Yes.
So,
shiny.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I do. And I also am a realist. I was around in the pilot, I was around in season one, two, three. They were, they were all we had, all we knew. We shot our first season and the pilot. I probably have rattled this off before, but we shot it on two different Vixia camcorders. One we bought at Walmart, and one was the guy who was interning for me. His dad's camera, he lent it to us.
Right.
So we were pretty humble beginnings back then, but we did the best we could. And, I mean, it was enough to launch us to get another season and another season. And now here we are, 10 seasons. I think we'll have 130 or 132 episodes under our belt at the end of the season.
Wow, really?
Jeez. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty crazy.
And it's a good thing, because as your fans will know, you went into the gym, you toned up, you lost weight, so now you have more room under your belt for those seasons. Which
I do. That's right. I got a little bit more room. I've shed a few extra pounds, and working a little bit with the weights, trying to just tone things up a little bit. Yeah.
Well, hey, you got to spoil
a little longer.
You got to spoil with Goldberg, so you got to be in good shape. Right? But I have to say, going from those Walmart cameras, now you're building a camera truck, which I think is great. I saw that on Instagram.
Oh, you saw that? Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, that was our old van that everybody gave us crap about because it was a Chevy van. You remember that back in season 4 or 3?
Yep.
And what it was my father-in-law gave me the van, and he passed away a couple years ago. And so it's kind of a bit of an heirloom now in the graveyard tradition. I didn't want to use it as the van anymore because we're building one for that. But I thought, God, what a great camera truck. It's a one-ton long bed. It runs like a champ. So, yeah, we just been modifying it over the summer, and we're just putting the final touches this week. And we'll get to take it out and use it. But when I watch the other programs, that they're all great, you know, on Motor Trend. I mean, everybody on there is uber professional and good camera work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I see the restrictions that we have to deal with, too. So if you're shooting out of the back of a pickup truck, you can only sweep so far to the left, so far to the right, get down so low. But with this setup, we were able to put the jib right on the back of it so we can go all the way down to the ground and shoot up. And we have about, I would say, 200 degrees of rotation.
Wow.
So really, these shots ought to be pretty amazing once we start implementing this thing.
Yeah, that's great.
And the on-road stuff is cool, too. You just did a shot on Friday night in Season 2. We were driving the 68 Charger, and you got some really great road shots out of a Hyundai.
Out of the passenger seat of a Hyundai. That's right. Shitbox. Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you a question about that car. I noticed that on the dash it had like one of those gauge pods, like a dual gauge pod on top of the dash. What's the story behind that part?
That's the owner. This car was kind of sent to us as a basket case, and him and his buddy had done the body and paint, and frankly, pretty darn good.
Okay.
Really did a great job, actually. But as I said in the show, they ran out of steam as far as the correctness and the access to parts, so that's when he commissioned me to bolt it back together, which is really what we did. But there's a lot more to it than just bolting it together.
Oh, sure.
But he had bought a lot of the parts, not all of them, but he bought a lot of them. And this dash was one that he had, for some reason at the time, he loved it and wanted to do it. But then, of course, as he gets acclimated with OEM and seeing the shop and the cars, he kind of regrets it. But he can always change it out.
Okay.
But it is a fully functional gauge pack that apparently you can order from somebody. I don't know who that is.
That looks good up there.
It gives you all the functionality of the gauges without having to rely on the old in-dash ones.
Well, that's it. You know, and anybody who drives old cars like us, you know, they weren't set up for those creature-type comforts and for good gauge, you know.
No. Lights a lot of times.
Right. Yeah, the technology for gauges kind of stunk.
Right. Which was good, because most of the guys I knew were idiots driving them, so it didn't really...
Fits them perfectly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, that's cool. And, you know, and also, I don't know, I'm not going to say we're the clearinghouse over here, but we do get a lot of mail and texts and stuff, because people know that we've had you on the show in the past. So they always, they think we know the answers to what you do on your show. They're like, hey, why'd Mark do this? Why? Like, what the heck do I know?
Yeah, it goes with the territory, right?
You call them? But one of the biggest questions and compliments that I had come back was on the dashboard run stand.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
that was impressive, yes.
That was cool. That took me forever. I wasn't kidding. I'm colorblind as a bat, so I can't. Red. If it's in one of those situations where you're asking me to choose between red and green, you might as well fill your will out, because it's not going to work out well for you.
Okay.
But I can follow wires.
right.
I kind of wanted to simulate it being in the car in those exact same environments and be able to dial it in to a certain degree to make sure that they're accurate. Now, I know the guys like it. Instrument Specialties, they do all that. They do all of our dashes for us. And so back there, he was telling me he has some of the original equipment from the manufacturer.
Ooh,
to do this stuff.
That's neat.
So all I was able to do was kind of emulate what it would be like inside the car and just make sure that nothing rattled loose and got weird. And it's good education too for the audience. So
I'm glad of that.
That was a lot of effort put into that little rack, and so it's really great that you got some feedback on that.
And of course, you know, the one person who was less than enthused is your daughter, Alyssa, who was like, what the hell am I looking at this thing for?
Couldn't care less. Her. Well, that's why I made her do it.
Right, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, if she acted interested, I would have got somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle that stuff too, because let's face it, not everything is done with a hammer and an impact wrench. You know what I mean? You got to be able to handle that aspect of the build as well. No.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, there are certain things that are still a finesse. Final body fitment, final body work, making sure the lines are right, mm-hmm. putting in windows and making sure that they don't just roll up and down, but they do it relatively easy, and that they line up with the adjacent windows, and that coordinates with the upper weather strip, roof rail weather strip area, and that it all fits, and that the door still opens and closes afterwards. So, right. Yeah, there's some finesse still left in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because it's a lot. You could see some guys that slap together a car, and it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to need this hammer to open the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or,
well, yeah, give that, it a good slam. It'll
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah. You know, right. Just pull really hard.
That's something I've seen. I've seen that on a lot of the car shows now, where guys are really making it an effort and showing that they're paying attention to fit and finish and door gaps, hood gaps.
Right, hood gaps, yeah.
Whereas we all know bodywork in years past was like, if it closes, good enough.
Right.
That's nice to see that level of commitment. But
and whistles a tune as you go down the highway.
Yeah,
Yeah. Been there. Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so any teasers for us for season 10? I mean, everybody wants to know, what's he going to do next? I'm like, stay tuned. I don't know.
Well, frankly, I don't know either.
Oh,
I haven't
cool.
got a clue what we're doing.
All right.
I do know that this season we finished the 1970 Dodge Coronet RT 426 Hemi 4-speed convertible for Mr. Brett Torino, and we had him out and delivered that mm-hmm. to him. And we had our SEMA show in the 1st of November, and where we unveiled the Little Dead Wagon.
Yeah.
The 1964 Dodge A100 right. with the Ray Barton built 1,000 horsepower pump gas Hemi in the back of it. So we had that on display at the Mopar booth. And if you guys were there watching, or if you watched it on social media later, Mopar introduced that brand new 1,000 horsepower all aluminum 426 mm-hmm. cubic inch third generation Hemi.
Right.
Yeah, and I was presented with that, surprisingly, at the end. That was, I didn't know that was coming,
nice.
So that got me off guard. So right now I'm working on the details around the car that I'd like to put it in, and we're not. We may not even announce it. We may do a real unveil.
Okay.
Next year at SEMA.
Yeah, how do you decide that? Okay. You know, which ties into. I mean, we have a couple of side threads I'm thinking of, but with the. What was I going to say? With the the dead wagon was one, but the I noticed in the beginning of the show. Now you're driving that Sassy Grass Green the Cuda,
the SEMA car,
which is kind of cool. That's a nice new
that was
show.
A new intro to the show. Yeah, the director had that idea, and it's a little bit different than what we've done in the past.
Yeah,
it gives you some. It gives you a little eye candy on the car for sure, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm kind of not distracted, and I can give you the rundown of what's going to be seen in the episode and mm-hmm. and kind of a pre-picture. And then, of course, at the end of the show, I'm driving home or driving somewhere. Usually one of the guys or gals is with me, and we're heading to dinner or something, and we just kind of wrap up. So one thing we do try to do is, not everything's a winner, but we do try different things every year. We definitely don't want to be stale. We definitely want to feel almost like a new show. Mm-hmm. And there's good and bad to that, because you get the people, like last year, we had an overwhelming amount of people saying how they loved the new format, they loved everything about it, it was perfect. And of course this year it's similar but different, so you get the pushback saying, why, you had it perfect, why have you changed things?
Yeah, right.
But
exactly.
I know enough to know that the shows that are the exact same thing over and over and over again, it's a one-trick pony, and it won't last.
Yeah,
right.
Which is interesting, because now, and you find a way to make it fresh, but dealing with Mopars and predominantly B bodies, that you would think that could put you into a box, but yet you found a way to expand that box, which is fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a conscious effort. It's not by accident.
That's a contraceptive, did you say?
What's that?
We all thought you said that's a contraceptive. And
Oh, controversy.
You're like, what?
I said that. Well,
it does, because you know what? We're not paying attention to our women. We're watching you. So
let me tell you something. Mopars are a lot of things, but I've never had one be a contraceptive.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah,
and I would say that's the opposite.
Yeah, you go.
And there have been some. We have seen some.
Yeah, you know what? Like I say, it's just kind of thinking like the audience would say. You can see an engine go together, and after the fifth or sixth time, if you watch a show diligently, then you're going to be, it's just going to be mundane to you.
Right.
But if we throw you a different pitch each time and support it with a story around that particular build, then it feels fresh content. And we've done the same exact job we did 20 times earlier, but you feel like you got a different feel for it.
That's actually a good approach, yeah.
It is. I don't know if you feel like us, Mark, but if sometimes we start to think like our listeners and we get twitchy. It's like, we don't like that feeling too much. It's like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, the meds have to, then you have to wait for the meds to kick back in. Right.
I have to say, though, one of the things that gave me, I'd like to make a screen saver out of it, is it's given me great joy, peace, and relaxation to see you out by your fire pit, which is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I've only seen that on, I guess, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Nice work. Beautiful. And it's so relaxing.
That's just, yep. Thank you. Yeah. You know, that's almost, that's a retreat for me at the end of a 12-hour day.
Yeah.
And I still live in the same, people see that and they probably figure I live in a mansion, not even close. I'm in the same house I was in 1990 when I rented it. And then in 2000, I started buying it. And so it's just a little house in Springfield. But that backyard, it was on a third of an acre, so I had a little bit of a backyard.
Yeah.
And over the years I put a koi pond in years ago, dug it myself, rented one of those little miniature backhoe things.
Right.
And learned the hard way that's not my forte. It was going to be a 4x8, but I kept caving the sides of it in with the weight of the tractor. And I ended up with like a football field for a pond out back.
Half the backyard gone.
Grow the koi bigger.
I think this is... Yeah. This little one's the one that we like. It's, the 1972 Dodge Charger Gold that we did last season or
yes,
the season before.
Right. With the aftermarket wheels.
Right.
Little 400 four-speed car.
Yep.
He's a Mason. He came down from Canada to get his car, and he wanted to surprise me with doing something for me. He was so appreciative of the work and the extra things we did that he brought his son down, and they built that out back, that little island for appliances.
Nice. Very cool.
Fireplace. And
nice.
So, yeah, I cherish it. I think that's wonderful.
That's cool. You know, another thing, speaking of properties, one of the listeners had asked me the other day, on the beginning shots of the show, where you show your the back lot of your, we have all the cars, which are lined up laser straight by the back.
Yeah, they are.
Which is, what's that property behind it, that huge field? And they say, is that Mark's too? I'm like, how do I know? I don't know.
Well, it's a great question, and it's really relevant right now. When I bought this place, I tried to get that, but the owner's an old family here in Springfield, and the old man, he's gone now. He built this building that we're in now. They did electric motor repair. So that's why that big 5-ton bridge jack's out there in the shop still. They did Weyerhaeuser sawmill, the different sawmills, they would fix their motors, their electric motors. But anyway, he had this and that property next door. So we have this one now, but they didn't want to sell that, and we just not... A month and a half ago, I heard from him saying, make me an offer on that property. So right now, we're finishing the negotiations next week, and that's going to be the future home of some of the things that I've talked about doing in the past, such as the retro dealership.
There you go. That was the next question I was going to ask. Yep. People are asking, what happened to the dealership?
Right.
Yep. Okay. I think that's where we're going to end up going with it,
nice.
And it'll tie in well. We're waiting for the city to get back and say whether or not that is zoned for a, and it may not be. It may not be zoned for a little coffee drive-up espresso thing.
Right.
But we wanted to put one in there, and I kind of wanted to do like an homage to the Munsters house, 1313.
Ah, yeah. Yep.
Nice.
Kind of go with the graveyard theme, and all the drinks would be named after something Gothic,
cool.
You know.
Yeah.
The,
I have an interesting point here. We happen to have in the studio two fans of your show, Al and Dave. Al is a former mayor, and Dave is a former police captain, police chief in the town that they were from. How would you guys? How about addressing that? How would someone, if in your town, if they came to you like Mark and said, "I want to expand. Can you guys help me? What do we do?"
That was the first thing I was going to ask him, if the city is acceptable to a zoning change, because she could go before the zoning board and ask for a change of the property.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and then you could probably get it in, depending on if it matches the. Area,
right.
If it matches the other businesses in the area.
Right.
It looks like you're in an industrial park, so, you know, if you put in anything fancy in, it will just increase the area, the viewshed of the area, so you might be able to get it through the zoning board very easily.
Nice.
And from the police perspective, it's my curse word, get a lawyer.
Lawyer. Well, I've already kind of traveled down a lot of those roads. Getting a zone change on a light, medium industrial to a community commercial is just a if all the property next to it down there was CC community commercial for that, then it'd be a reasonable sell. But right now it's not. You go right from residential to MDI, and so it's just a harder sell at that point.
Right. Even though you're going to have a buffer between the residential and the industrial area.
Even if there is a buffer, which the only buffer in this particular case is a road, which hasn't been developed. If you look at those drone shots that we do, and you
That's
look carefully,
street.
You'll see that the roads that are adjacent that run along north and south, east and west to that vacant land, that's 4 acres over there, that it's undeveloped. So when I go to develop that property, I'll have to put in streets or curbs and sidewalks and gutters and all that.
Right.
It's going to be spendy too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, I was going to ask, I'm sorry. Even though your new business would be better than industrial, they don't consider that a buffer between the residential and the industrial area then?
Nah, the city of Springfield's an odd group. Now, maybe they all are, because I've never worked any other city or town, but they don't care. They couldn't care less about Mark Warman or Graveyard Cars. Couldn't care less. I almost think that they make me... Sometimes I feel like, I think it's easy to feel picked on when things don't go your way.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no latitude. They treat me, and probably rightfully so, they do treat me exactly like everybody else.
They just don't know you like the rest of us do.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they don't see my vision. They don't realize how many people come in the summer with a destination of us.
If you had guys like Al and Dave on the board, I mean, your car guys.
There we go. There we go.
That might help.
And then
there you go. We need to get some car guys down there on the city council.
I think maybe what you need is an East Coast representation out here. Maybe you got to branch out.
East Coast, West Coast.
There we go.
Well, I've thought about it. I sure have. If the right person came to me and said, "Listen, this is what I do every single day," but you know, we're having a hard time getting work in here, but we're great. I would go down the entertainment of licensing that shop, either in the way of a partnership or a LLC or maybe just licensing them to use it.
That'd be interesting.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Gentlemen,
but
a road
it would
trip.
Have to be, you know, it's my reputation, so everything's on it, so it has to be exactly the way that I demand every car is done.
Well, you have Tony D'Agostino's out this way.
Tony is out there, and Tony would do exactly those things. We've kind of joked around. He told me the other day he wants to sell his business and move out here, but that'd be stupid. His dad's back there.
Yeah,
he's so successful. I mean, he knows everybody. Talk about somebody that's networked. I mean, I like to think I am, and it's not even close. If I have a problem, I call him up, and he goes, "Oh, you need to talk to old Bill down there in Missouri. He knows. He's got the answer." I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. He's met somebody and know something. His skills would be wasted as a parts guy here.
It's amazing. I saw him out at Carlisle, and the line of people trying to talk to him, you know, and his connections.
It's funny. He's loving it.
It's just amazing,
Yeah, he said that. He goes, "Man, what do they want?" You were on the show. They want to ask you if I'm really an asshole.
Right. That's true. Hey, you know, and as you know, Mark, we've had you on the other show that I participated in, Playing in Traffic with Lou Santiago, and as I understand, you're slated to come back. I thought you were going to be back on that show before we got you here, but we got you here first, which is good.
Well, I've got an email from that guy,
Lewis Lee,
and I just haven't had an opportunity to follow up with everything. As soon as we got back, we had it from SEMA. We had our hands full with about everything you could imagine. Anything that could go wrong did, and so I haven't had the time to get hold of him. I ran into Lou at the VIP after party at SEMA that Discovery Channel puts on.
Right.
And he had his agent guy there, and I'm terrible at names. I don't remember
That's
his
Lewis
agent.
Lee. Yeah.
Yeah, Lewis, is that what you said?
Yeah, they're both Lou Santiago and Lewis Lee. Lewis Lee is his, I guess, agent, you could call him, whatever, yeah.
So. How do you spell it so I can look up that email? Lewis, L-E...
L-E-E.
Oh, it is, okay.
I'll Lewis, send you, you know what, when we...
Could be on the All Ends, maybe?
I'll send you, All Ends Magazine, I'll send you a text with his email address.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yep, I do owe him a return call, and now that you've said that, I remember.
Yeah. But I know that, Lewis said, we're going to get Mark back on the show after seeing him. I'm like, great, because we're looking to book him on the radio show, too. So, and that's, those guys are great networkers, and then what we've done is we've kind of pooled our entity, and guests from that, that's how I met Al, guests from that show come to this show go to that show, and we kind of, we're just doing the networking thing and sharing, because that's what car guys do, just spread it around and share it, some people like to hoard it. You got to get it out there. You got to share it.
That's the way it all works. That's how we all benefit.
It's like that Foghat 8-track. You got to lend it to your buddy, but make sure you get it back.
And in fairness, it was Eddie Money.
Oh, well, no, I know. The dash test, that was Eddie Money, correct.
Two tickets to paradise.
I'm talking about the one you played when you were cruising around on, West 11th Street or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, up on Willamette, yeah.
Yeah. But because I know that's what I was playing. That's and it's something, I've been using it as a catchphrase because I'm a big, Joe and I are big music guys. And when I talk to people, I make music references. And I usually say, I'm going to go prune the old Foghat 8-track. Just something I say. Mm-hmm. And people, for some reason, that strikes a chord and people say, wow, Foghat.
Yeah, you go.
And you ring the bell.
Yeah.
You rung the bell. And that's what I think Graveyard Car's success truly is. It isn't my amazing singing or dancing talents, though they're unparalleled. It isn't my knowledge of the cars. It's the cars and the bell that gets rung when I start talking about something from that era that resonates with anybody who was there.
Right.
And that captures their attention. Go to the ear with a point, but go to the heart with a story.
Yes. Exactly. Good. I had to ask. Someone asked me, too, is that wrap chain he wears, is that a real chain or is it plastic? Like,
that's a real chain, man. That thing kills me every time I have to put it on. It weighs like 2 or 3 pounds.
Yeah, you got the turnbuckle clamps on it.
The turnbuckle clamp goes through the back of my neck like Frankenstein. And and I get a kick out of it. It humors me, and I don't care if anybody else likes it.
I got to tell you a funny story. This is just a little interjection, but we have a friend who's on playing in traffic with us, Brian the Matco Man from Maryland, and he had sent me recently a hoodie sweatshirt, and he threw in a hat. So I'm in the kitchen, and I'm not a hoodie guy, but I put it on, and my wife's like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I put the hat on, pulled it low over my eyes, and I threw on a pair of dark shades, and my daughter says, Dad, is that you? Is that...
You were very thugged.
You just watched me.
You turned thug, rapper,
I said, I'm channeling Mark Warman, all right?
That's right. You just blame it all on me, buddy.
I took off the hat, and the guy goes, now you look the same. I'm like, because I don't usually wear a hat. But it's funny, and then I thought, I said, all you got to do is put on a hat and glasses and stand right, and people take notice.
And throw that hat a little crooked, too,
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So that's fun stuff. But so what's, I know you don't want to, we can't tip the hand and share any deep secrets for the show, but what do people have to look forward to now coming up in future episodes? Because
this is a really dense season for deliveries. So a lot of people have always said, we want to see more cars getting delivered, and it's if we did the kind of thing where, like overhauling, where you delivered the car, beginning, middle, and end of the car, I think our ratings would probably be even higher than they are right now.
But it
isn't realistic with OEM restorations on 50-year-old rust buckets.
Right.
So this year, though, we're delivering, as I mentioned, the one of two built Hemi convertible Coronet RT convertibles.
Amazing.
A 68 Dodge Charger RT in MM1 turbine bronze metallic with a white Model B and pearl white interior.
Love that color.
That 1970 Dodge Challenger 440 six-pack four-speed in B7 blue.
Now, what's the difference in 5 and 7? I know it's... Because I saw Will painting a B, he was doing a B7, the B7 Challenger just the other night.
A B7 and a B5 in the same episode, I think.
What's the tonal difference between B5 and B7?
The darkness or the lightness. So they start out in the basement at 3, they go to 5, and they go to 7. And you'll see that on the Gs, on the Fs, on some of the different colors.
Got it.
It's the difference in the shade. And so when you get into that blue... in B7 is just one of the prettiest colors. I think that Toyota ripped it off many, many years later, a very similar shade to that B7 blue.
Yeah.
I had a 71 GTX 440 automatic air grabber, one of 427 built. It was a B7 over B7 guts.
Ooh, nice.
And it was just stunning.
Right.
So, yeah, B3 is pretty pale. You won't see those selling for anywhere near the B5s. Everybody knows B5, so they rattle it off. Dodge brought back B5. But B7 is the prettiest of those three blues.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
In addition to that, we've got our really cool car from a guy up in your neck of the woods, Yonkers, New York.
Yeah.
That when he was 18 years old on his 18th birthday, his mother went with him. He had had a job at his uncle's gas station for 3 years, saved up every single dime he made, and he went in and bought with his mother, ordered a 72 Plymouth Duster.
Nice.
344 speed, okay. Tawny gold, black mm-hmm. guts, bucket
nice.
Seat. And fast forward, one of my articles in Mopar Muscle Magazine, I'm writing for them again. I don't know if I mentioned that to you, but I'm writing for Mopar Muscle, and I have a monthly editorial that comes out. One of the most recent ones was about that car. Long, condensed version is, bought the car in 72 when it was brand new. 8 years later, his mother won a night, or does he? He won the car. He bought the car in 72, so it would have been 12 years later. His mom won a brand new Mercury Lynx in a contest in New York. Remember those stupid little cars?
Yeah. Uh-huh. With the
and there's a
headlights.
Picture of her, too, standing okay. next to that, getting the keys. Anyway, she gave that car to him, and he felt he didn't need the Duster anymore, so he sold his prize Duster.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah, we've all done
Fast
that.
Fast forward yeah. 4 years ago, he gets hold of me and says, can you build a car? He says, if you could find me one, that's great. But mine was kind of unique. I built it myself, and now I realize it was. He had the original Monroney from the window, the original window sticker from that car in his files at home. And so he sent me that, and we have built that car based on that Monroney.
Nice.
And that's what's launched our new branch, our new brand, which is Graveyard Dreams, which is also a spinoff show we're working on right now.
I meant to ask you about that because I saw the new Twitter, the new Instagram feed. Right.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's going to air this season, too. We're done with that car, and it should be pretty emotional, and it should also ring a lot of bells when you're talking about something that you had, and it's gone, the one that got away. And sure, just like with me with my Dodge Charger, I haven't given up, but I'm reasonably sure I'll never find that car. It's probably gone. But what would be better than just crying in your milk? It would be to build the exact same car. In my case, I'd put the tuck and roll crushed velvet inserts in the seat.
Nice.
All the things that I made at my car. So that's what this guy did. Jimmy did this. And so he's coming out here next week to film the reveal. Then it'll probably air after Christmas, is my guess, probably towards the first of the year.
Excellent. Excellent. That's very good.
Nice Christmas
present. Yeah, that's pretty much. Well, there's, let's see, it seems to me like there's another car. Well, we're revealing, of course, the little dead wagon.
Right.
You gotta take that down
to
drag strip.
I think you get to see the Daytona painted this year. So this first half of the season. So we're 13 episodes right now, and then we're going to be off, I think, from February to March, and then we're back on in March with 13 more.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we're rocking them out, man.
Excellent. Well, Mark, we're going to have to
wrap it
towards the end. We thank you very much for giving us a call and being part of the show today and cluing everybody
Always
in.
Always a pleasure.
What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I love you guys. Thanks. Anytime you need something out here, you just drop me a line.
Absolutely. Cool. And we will see you on Playing in Traffic coming up, I'm sure, soon. That'll come into place. Any information you want to give out, contact information if people want to get in touch with you or any of your friends?
Go to graveyardcars.com. Almost everything that we're doing now, we did start merchandising, so we have some of the cars that we built in seasons past now available. You can buy those just in time for Christmas on go to graveyardcars.com, and they pop up right at the bottom of the screen.
Okay,
watch us Friday nights at 9, 8 central on the new Motor Trend network.
Got that.
And that's all I can say is God bless and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks,
same to
man.
You, Mark.
Christmas and to you, Mark.
Nice you and your
Mark.
Family.
Thank
and we'll,
you.
We'll be in touch. We'll speak with you again soon.
You too, Al and Dave, back there in the background. Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
thank
Mark.
You. Bye-bye.
So long.
Yeah.
All right. That was Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars.
What a guy.
We're going to take a quick break to reestablish here because that was quite a... That was quite doings there. In the vein of Mark, let's go out with a little. You guys will you'll know this starter very well, and we'll do a quick. We'll come back and wrap it on Motormouth Radio 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi, those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
That's what I say. Give it one.
Do that. That's what I say.
There you go. Back on Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. We're in with Al and Dave. We wrapped with Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars.
Yeah, as always, that was some interview. Yeah. Gotta
Brian,
say.
Matt Goldman, Brian clocked in saying he liked the show. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, so did Howie. Howie liked it too.
How could you Jim not like always, something like that?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you know, and I'm not exactly the biggest Mopar guy out there, but, you know, right. he's an impressive dude. That's an impressive operation he's got there.
Straight from the horse's mouth, you might
say.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's always good having, getting that showcase, because people do have a ton of questions. I mean, our good friend Cliff, he sent me a list of them. I covered a couple. I couldn't get them all.
But, yeah. It's one of those things where once you get somebody, when you get somebody live, whether it's on the phone or in front of you, like all of a sudden all those questions that you had laid out in your head,
right out. Right.
Gone.
Yeah,
that
happens quite often.
It's the magic of live radio.
I was hoping he was going to say he's going to take that new Hemi crate motor and dump it in my Dakota, but he didn't. Yeah, disappointed on that.
Yeah, we had a couple of votes for Superbirds, stuff like that.
That's the thing. Friday night, he pulled in a Cuda, a blue Cuda, car was all jacked up.
Right.
He said it had huge, and it had a Hemi under the hood. The guy was racing it with a full interior and no cage, which I thought was a little interesting. But whatever. Now I'm kind of like, what are you going to do with that Hemi when you take it out of that car?
Right.
We have a phone call. Let's go to the phones real quick and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hi, Motormouth. It's Glenn. Thank you for that info.
Hey,
yeah,
Glenn.
No problem, man.
We couldn't get to it all, but we did.
The information.
Good.
Thank you.
Be able to pick that up, and hopefully that's it. By all means, please let us know how you do. Tell us the whole sordid story once you get around it there.
Yeah, keep us up on that.
Just quick thing.
Yes.
My first car I ever owned was a Sunbeam Alpine.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
$100 I paid for it. They told me it had C's motor.
Right.
Yeah. I put the distributor in. Oiled it up, The thing started up. I sold it to a dentist for $2,100.
Beautiful. That's
good.
Car flipper 101. All right.
And then the second one was a 69 Camaro convertible.
Oh, beautiful. Glenn, yeah, we'd love to talk to you more about this. Now we're at the end of the show, and we got to go.
Right,
so
guys,
Kim can come
in.
But call us again.
Stay in touch. Please let us know how you make out, okay?
And let us know.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We fried another hour, Ray.
And I got to say, next week we have, we're going to have Debbie in with her, oh, what the heck, Rusty Becker from Long Island Karting, from go-karts.
Oh, yeah,
right.
We're
doing a karting show next week, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll just kick it over and have more fun, and, you know, we just roll it on into the next one, and there we go.
We just keep cranking them out.
With that, we got to go on Motormouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
Bye.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Thank you.